Again, we are going to begin the process of reading the Shema or the Shema. And it's tonight we'll have Miss Liz read it. And the reading, the Shema goes, how can I say it? It's like, it's the call to hear with understanding. And if there's anything that's inhibiting that understanding or inhibiting you hearing, then the reason they're elders is then you leave the room with the elders until it can be done. Okay? Until you can understand it, and you can hear. So that process is going to be different on Tuesday nights. We're not going to take up any time to talk about stuff. You know, briefly, just like blah, blah, blah. But no, I've got this against you.
Oh, here's my long litany of dull, boring things that I say every time.
One way and another, you know. Yeah.
Okay.
Is that about yourself?
Deuteronomy. It starts out Deuteronomy 11. Wait a minute. Deuteronomy 6. It's first of all Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Deuteronomy 11, 13 through 21. And Numbers 15, 37 to 41. Now, for those of you that don't remember, these were the Shema. If you've ever heard about phylacteries, and if you've seen pictures of the Jews that are, they have these bound in a little leather packet on their forehead and on their hand. So it's rather than seeing the parable that these are supposed to be the basis upon your thinking, they literally tie them to their forehead. And rather as the basis of what you do with your hands, they put them on their hands. So, I mean, but go ahead. I digress.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command thee this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn, and thy wine, and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take ye heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside, and serve other gods, and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heavens, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord gives thee. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders of a riband of blue, and it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them, in that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go whoring, that ye may remember and do all my commandments, and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God.
Now, again, in custom, it's forbidden to interrupt the reading of the Shema, even to hear the news that your mother died, or you can't interrupt the reading of the Shema. And there's a thousand reasons for it, but fundamentally it's because it's the, if you could hear, the Shema is the full gospel. And nothing can interrupt that mystery. There's a jillion things in the Shema that we could talk about, and we will as we go. What we need to do tonight, if possible, is get to the point where Cain and Abel got wiped, where Abel got wiped out. Okay, because that happened on the Feast of Passover.
Wow.
So first, what's happened on the first of the Lord's Passover. So we're going to read really two sections tonight. And so let's go. Genesis 2, verse 4. And let me see if I can give it some logical. Harry, read from Genesis 2, 4 through...
Is this still part of the...
This is the second week. This is Nisan 2. And read through 4 through 14. Barbara, you want to read? You want that one to read, huh? Edwin, read from 15 through 20. And Eileen, just read 21 through 25. And we'll stop there for a minute.
These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground.
Now, you understand, for those of you who haven't gone through this before, that's why men live to be such extreme ages. You got to see that the earth was fundamentally different at this time than it is now, and that there was never rain. It had never rained, and there was a twilight mist that went all over the earth. There was a covering, and so the light would be totally different than when you think of light now. It'd almost be like a hothouse. Incredible things would grow all the time. It would be literally, the whole earth fundamentally would be a garden. This is why it's so wild, if you can hear this, for God to tell Noah to build an ark because it was going to rain. It never rained, so nobody knew what rain was. So it was going to rain for 49 days and 40 nights, and everybody said, say what?
First they said, what's an ark? And then they said, what's rain?
Yeah. What's so, but it's
God
the same thing.
To know what rain was?
Huh?
Did he explain to
know
what rain was?
Probably not.
Yeah, come back
again.
Oh,
no.
You said a mouth.
That's pretty funny.
Knowing God
like I do, I bet he did.
I'm serious.
Well, you probably gave him a little.
You were.
You probably gave him just a little hint. Okay.
And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison. That is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is the the name of the second river is Gihon, the same as it that encompasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, that is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria, and the fourth river is Euphrates.
And Lord God took the man.
I can't believe nobody has any questions about that.
I was just thinking about how much art is done on these four rivers.
Is there any particular, I'm sure there are meanings to the names. They're like Hallelujah.
Well, yeah, but the reason this is so wild is because these define those rivers define the edges of the mystery. They define the boundaries of the New Jerusalem. They define the limits upon which we can know by revelation. As a practical matter, they also define, you know, like from the river of Egypt to the Tigris, they essentially define this middle, what we call the Middle East, where all problems are. But it's like God is saying to us, everything in the universe is a parable. Then between these four rivers, or these rivers, the parable is more intense, the revelation is more intense. And then, you know, then it goes further down. Then we take it down, then we go down to the Israel itself, and it's more intense. Then we go down to Jerusalem itself, it's more intense. Then we go down to the temple itself, it's more intense. Then we go down finally to the holy place, and it's more intense. Then we get onto the Ark of the Covenant, it's more intense. Then we get on under the wings of the cherubim, and it's like Revelation goes, it's like an inverse pyramid. You understand? So that's the sense that I want you to get from this reading. Okay?
And Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him.
And notice that Adam could not have fallen, and we've talked about this before, until that he was given the ability to name. Because there can be no fallenness without the ability or without the language to name something. Okay, and there's jillions of tapes on this subject if you haven't heard it.
You know, something else. He couldn't, by naming all the animals, he discovered his need for the woman. Because he named all the animals and he said, "These are not me, these are not me, these are not me."
Yeah, yeah.
And then it was like, okay, this
is exactly right.
Yeah. He was alone after he named.
So could he communicate with women at all? And did he have a language, or was naming stuff part of developing the language?
The naming began the language. Before that, there was no need for language.
Yeah, who did he talk to?
Yeah, I was thinking, why would he need one?
Yeah, there was no. It was only at the call to name. And it's a mind-blowing concept. And remember when we studied all that thing about naming?
Mm-hmm.
How can I say this? It's like you have to have the ability to name in order to have the propensity to fall, in order to have the ability to be joined back with God. It's like it's this whole idea of what we're here for. We're not here to do what God wants us to. I mean, that's the role of the Pharisee, to try to do that, and then he finds out he can't do it, so he has to act like he can do it. We're here to bring a whole new level, a whole new understanding of obedience. To us, obedience isn't him running around telling us to do stuff, and we try to follow it and then act like we can't, and to us, obedience means to hear the mystery under whatever situation we're in. The end result of it is that we will do what he wants us to do without him saying a word. That's the total difference between us and religion. And that's what discipleship is. Discipleship is, in effect, naming everything else until the only thing left is the bride. Because you name it to see that it's followed. It's like you never know what you really want to do. You only know what you don't want to do. In order to know what you don't want to do, you have to have named it.
Oh, wow. So that's neat. So when God brought an animal to him, he, in order to name it, he had to know it. He had to examine it. He had to have dominion over it.
And he didn't just say, this is...
Yeah, I know what you're
saying.
Now I know why you said it. I mean, he had to take command of it and say,
fundamentally,
and go like this and go, nope, it's not me.
Yeah.
It's a...
Look, that's wild.
It is wild.
Yeah.
That's the whole... You guys, if you haven't heard these tapes, you really need to. They explain a great deal of the mystery and why language is so important. There's only 9 of them. There's only 9 tapes. Right? The language series?
Well, that's from like a billion years.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really does. I remember hearing them, but I don't
know. They will make your head overheat.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, it's like...
Where am
I? It's really presents the philosophical basis for what we're about.
Mm-hmm.
So if you haven't heard...
I think it's funny, though. That series rattled Rex more than any series of things you've ever said or done.
I think one of the things I remember so distinctly is when you first started the language tapes, like, or that series, the first meeting, Louis talked almost, I mean, he talked more than anyone else in the room. That was just so funny.
Was that why in 18 it says, I will make you a helpmeet, and then he goes through all these animals and says, but there was not found a helpmeet?
Right. He has to find out what it isn't before he longs for what it is.
Wow.
So this is what part of the plan God said, I'll make you help me. And he cops out all these animals. He says, I don't want this, I don't desire this.
That's right. So and it's the same thing that you do.
Yeah.
And we're
the
still
bride is all that you desire.
Right. Yeah. Just think of how many animals you and I would have.
How many beasts?
Cows, dogs.
Any name?
What?
Oh, 2 for Tyra.
She's gone.
but just think of what I ended up with.
You would somehow machine pick that up here. Then you would.
I think we picked that up.
We're going to afford in a new car. Okay.
I can show it to you. Would you like to
sit
on the porch?
With
Tyra?
With Tyra. You can talk over your
with
own.
With that animal over there on the couch?
Your old paramours.
Can I ask them? I've been reading about the beginning of time like a lot lately. Is there evidence that the Earth really was this mist-covered place, scientific
age? Sure. Look. At any place on the continents, any place there's always evidence that it was not just mist covered. Most of the continents at one time everything was covered with a sea. There's no distinct evidence for mist because it was interrupted when the flood came.
So the flood destroyed any evidence that it could have existed.
Right.
Take a Jackie's place. We have to move on. We'll get came there. We're not going to get there.
Question, were all the continents one at one time?
Yes.
What caused them to break?
Well, you read about that.
You were going to read about that here.
Yeah.
About
you're ahead, Ed.
How come Liz is so bossy?
Huh?
She's taking Jackie's place. Remember Jackie was the Russian? Right,
okay. Okay.
And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed it with flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife
and we're not ashamed.
Well, what's the bold part?
What?
And she should be called, she should be called woman.
There should be selfish character.
She was taken out of man.
Woe is, I mean, you gotta imagine this is.
Whoa,
it's ish and
whoa,
ishy.
Baby.
I mean, it's not. Forget whoa. I mean, you remember those are. You got to go back to Hebrew, otherwise it doesn't make any sense. Whoa doesn't mean anything.
What's the Hebrew
difference
between the two words?
So, yeah.
Ish and ishy means ish. It means that the one came forth from the other. Is all
oh,
it means.
Okay, cool. All right.
Why is 24 there? It seems out of place.
The 24 is there so that it shows that the mystery was always that, before the fall. The purpose was always that, before the fall.
So, one of the things that says is the man and wife were one before they were divided?
They were one before they were divided. They were, and that's why we can be, we don't pay any attention to what the evidence is. We return to the oneness.
So we're one before we're even born too.
That's right. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. We were joined in him from before the foundation of the earth. They were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. The word ashamed means confounded. It means that they weren't confounded because they had no capacity to think of themselves.
Cool.
I mean, you understand? What we want to return to, it's this crazy thing. Life starts out, this is a cup, then it's not a cup, and then it is a cup. We start out where we want to see life starts out, we are joined, we are one, we are in union. Then we have to be like we're not in union so that we can be back in union. You understand?
Yeah.
That's why antagonism is the only purpose of time, to test that first revelation. You understand that?
So Adam woke up from this deep sleep and he looked and he said, there's me, there's my flesh.
There's my flesh. Part of
me or it's an
extension. We don't have any way of, in your mind, you have no way of understanding that statement.
Understand.
He wakes up. He woke up and they said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh."
Not really. No. She divided up. Got too much garbage.
We have no friend there.
Okay. You get to read about the fall.
Oh, how far do I go?
Nice.
Read. Seven.
Okay. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field.
His name was Liz.
The lizard was more God had made. And he said unto Liz, and God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. But the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die.
Okay, there is the basis of the lie. All time. The basis of the one lie. Compare verse 3 with Genesis 2, verse 17, starting 16. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. What it says in dying, you shall die, is what it says in Hebrew. Over here now, the woman got it. She twisted it a little bit, probably because the man screwed up.
Touch.
And she said, she added to it. She said, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.
You know, yeah, because God said to Adam what to do and not do.
So
how did Eve find out?
It was the man's fault.
That's why I've always said, every problem in a relationship is the man's fault.
Okay, but lest you die. My servant said, and the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil.
You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. That's the only time the false gods or the gods are ever defined. Can you see how, and this is ignored. This is what everything in the universe goes back to, and yet this is what everything in religion, they ignore.
Yeah.
They try to make you know more good and evil. That's why Jesus said, they shall make you twice the child of hell, rather than living in that moment of dependence.
So was this the first time that the serpent was...
opened, yeah, he was revealed. Now, he wasn't, he didn't look like a snake, according to the legend. He was more...
Looked like Harry.
He was beautiful.
Everything after this assumes that you know this.
Right? Everything, the rest of the Bible assumes you know that.
Right. Because I never saw that before.
Okay, stop there a minute before you go on. Well, go read through seven. Go up to seven. Or through seven, I mean.
And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to desire to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons.
Okay.
Wow.
Now...
But this serpent that was one of the animals that Adam had named.
Right. Now he was the essence of. See, there was a whole creation before the age of Adam. That was Lucifer's kingdom, and that was where we get the fossil evidence of dinosaurs and everything else, millions of years ago. That kingdom fell. And it was called the Age of Lucifer, the Kingdom of Lucifer. And Lucifer, that whole kingdom was manifested or represented in the one, in the serpent here, in Lucifer. And so his goal was to bring down, he could not worship this new creation, which was he was intended to do, because he saw ahead. He was, the spirit world always sees, you can, it sees... It's not subject to time. You understand? And so when the previous existence, the age of Lucifer, ate both of the tree of knowledge of good and evil and of the tree of life, they were spiritualized. You understand that? Mm-hmm. In that spirit condition, they can move throughout time. They have no space. They have no place, but they move freely throughout time. So they knew, he saw... the fruit. He saw Adam as the last Adam, Christ, on the cross as a little baby. They were created to worship Adam, to worship Christ, but they couldn't worship. And that's what caused the fall of Satan, because he could not worship the mewing baby or the half-dead animal on the cross, incontinent. And that's why it's so vital that you don't fall for the lie of trying to perfect the flesh, because that's the lie of Satan. That's what Tilton's preaching is, directly from the pits of hell.
Yeah, that's what I never saw before in verse 6. It's all the flesh.
Yeah.
It was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, it was desired to make one less, it's all flesh.
And that's those three, those temptations are the ones that Christ, here the first Adam, was tempted in these conditions, in these things, and he fell. The last Adam, Christ, was tempted in those conditions, and he didn't succumb.
So she already had the ability, to see that. She didn't have to eat the fruit to see that.
Yeah, but that's, let's go, keep your finger there and go to 2 Corinthians 11. Would to God you would bear with me, or you could bear with me a little of my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, how did he beguile Eve? He beguiled Eve through self-realization. Understand that? And it's so basic, it'll destroy you in every arena of your life, because you always want to be self-realized. You always want to get it better. You always want to get God's stuff better. That's the subtlety, as the serpent beguiled Eve. You just abandon yourself, the rest is automatic. But you have to know that. But your mind has to be tested by that in every arena, so that the serpent cannot beguile you in any place. So that there is no possibility in any of the possible dimensions of your life where you will fall for this lie of self-realization. Now that's why, again, the preaching of the cross is the only thing that can keep you from that, because otherwise you will fall into it automatically in every religion, because the basis of man is to improve himself. That's what you've done in your entire life, is try to improve yourself. You've done it, most of you have done it up till now, this very night, try to improve yourself. That's the lie. It's the serpent beguiling Eve through his subtlety. The desired one of the nations has come. Every desire that your heart could have is already fulfilled. Don't buy anything else. Don't literalize any part of the parable. Or you will give back all of the land. Put your eyes on yourself for any reason, for 1 minute, for any reason whatsoever. And before you can blink your eyes a second time, Satan will have it all back again. Understand? The preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. But unto us who are being saved, it is the power of God. I beg of you, if you've never heard that before, hear it tonight.
That's the state Eve was in. All her desires were met. She had everything.
She was the bride.
But reached for more. So are we the last Eve?
Well, yeah. The last Israel. We're the true Israel, the true Eve. This was just a shadow. There's only, do you understand, there's only two people in all of history. It's Adam and Christ. You understand that you are, have been deceived your entire life? You've been deceived. The evil one has been masquerading as you lowly as many years. You don't exist. You are a vessel for deity. Trying the independent self, trying to get better. Or now we are the body of Christ and members in particular. You can't have it both ways. Passover is simply a celebration for a group of people who now know that there's no longer any possibility of self-realization. There's no longer any happiness or contentment based on their own desires. Mm-hmm. 8 through 13.
And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God...
Now stop a minute. You're still hiding yourself among the trees of the grove in your high place. Understand that? You're going, running through your high place activities, hiding in the trees.
Mm-hmm. I need to get a tape on that. Because mm-hmm. I really don't understand all this high place
stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked?
Okay, that's the miracle. That's the question now. Naked meaning, again, do you understand? Spiritually naked means I need something else. Of course, he knew. But again, who told you you were naked?
That was like
he, at that moment, could have said, Father, forgive me.
Yeah.
Now, do you think you have a need? Who told you you were naked? Live in that moment the same as the bird flying, and the God will meet every need with no effort on your part. You've got to see that by now. It's been proven too many times.
Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me the tree, and I did eat.
In a way, you know, I never noticed this before. He's kind of accusing God.
Sure.
Yeah. He became thou gave.
You give me this thing, and it's
true. He's a victim.
Yeah.
Okay, now we understand, and that's exactly
saying,
right.
And he's saying this other person.
So it's a separate.
Like it's not me. I didn't do it.
Now it's not him anymore.
Now it's separateness.
Not so much of the flesh of my flesh. Yeah.
Yeah.
My
now. Do you understand spiritually now why being a victim is the same as leprosy?
You know, I'm really interested.
Amen. That's great. Now you can forgive all, and you can be forgiven. This is where it all started.
Yeah.
In this verse, he refers to her as the woman, and the is capitalized. Back in 2:24, he refers to her, 23, he refers to her as woman.
Woman.
And woman is capitalized.
There's no
There's got to be something.
Oh, yeah, sure, the big. Anytime there's an article in the Greek or Hebrew language, we use thee like it's, you know, nothing. But in language and in the philosophy of language and the reason for language, an article, thee, is the most, I mean, it's like, it is what calls attention to its uniqueness. When there is thee there, it means that this is the writer's effort of calling your total attention to that uniqueness and its ability to stand alone. So before, there was no thee were applied to woman. It was just like saying that my finger is a part of my hand. You don't say the little finger. I mean, you know, it's, you understand?
So just calling attention to
that,
just
separate.
And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat.
Eve said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. This is a result of a self-imposed law. And once the self-imposed law was there, then it opened the door for the serpent. You understand? Unless that self-imposed law had been put there, Satan could not have tempted him.
You mean if she'd just blown off the serpent?
The serpent could not even have exposed himself.
Or if Adam
even
said,
oh, she didn't. The
serpent could have spoken.
Is Molech self-imposed law?
Well, self-imposed meaning it's
imposed by Adam.
It's, yeah.
Okay.
Now, she made this thing, this tree, mysterious and increased the curiosity and the lust of the eyes. She said when she touched the fruit and didn't die, then the law was made void in her mind.
But that never was the rule.
That's right. So she said, you can't touch it. Then she probably touched it and she didn't die.
Why did she even say you can't touch it?
That's the whole...
That is something she mixed it in.
That's the attitude.
But she knew she mixed it in.
I don't think.
You have things. Yeah. You make a law.
You start the process.
So she didn't necessarily know. Then you won't break it. So then when she broke it, she didn't necessarily know.
When she touched it and didn't die, then God, the authority figure, was destroyed in her eyes.
Right. It reminds me of when I was a very little kid the first time I said, God damn. I didn't die. I was like.
Then she became her own God, just as the serpent had told her. By believing you can't touch something or laying hands on it, it has dominion over you. Now, this is what happened to all of you. You were told by Molech that you can't touch something. Don't be curious about that. Curiosity killed the cat. That is pure horseshit. Telling you to have blind faith. There's no such thing as blind faith in the Bible except in Babylon. God wants you to lay your hands on it and take dominion over it. and experience it by naming it. Everything you know, everything in the world knows about God and Jesus Christ is opposite. It's not just a little bit wrong, it's totally wrong. You understand?
This concept of self-imposed laws.
Now, what if she'd understood the eating process? Eating is what you do to gain identity, to life. You would die if you didn't eat. The tree of knowledge of good and evil was the original false tree of life. It was the grove. If Eve had touched it before, then there would have been no problem. It was Eve's mind that came up with don't touch. As a result, she felt separation. You can't touch that, therefore there's separation. This was something in the garden that she didn't have dominion over. Therefore, it created by definition its own separation. She was separated from something she wanted. This is the same as the fear of death and the separation. You see? She could have touched it, examined it, knew it, just like she did everything else. But because she added, don't touch it, it increased the separation.
I don't understand how, if that she added it, if that's what the serpent said.
She didn't. The serpent didn't say it. She said it. Verse 3. Jesus worked through all of the high places of the mind by laying hands on it, having dominion over it. He always touched it without eating it. Therefore, he was without sin.
That's really wild. There's no, you were talking about, I mean, the cross is what causes you to not have any separation or fear of death. You have touched it, you have laid your hands on it.
Amen.
I never saw that. I mean, that's neat.
I've never heard that preached anywhere else. That she added, that you shall not.
Yeah. Nor have I.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't see that. If they saw that, then their preaching would have to go down the tubes.
But
don't do this. Don't do that.
Yeah,
remember, I told you guys I was kicked out of is the wrong word. I was asked when I was 7 years old, and the Lutheran minister, and he was a collared guy, came to my mother and father and said that I was an evil child, and that I wasn't welcome at the catechism class.
Because what did you ask?
I don't remember, but I'm sure I just was precocious. I asked whatever was there. What? You going out for?
She's off the bowl.
Are you going out for javelin catching tonight?
No, because I had a girlfriend that she took her little girl to one of these palm readers, and she told her that her child was evil. So, I'm going to have to ask you to leave because your daughter is evil.
Oh, my grammar school principal called my parents and told them I was possessed.
We don't doubt with even one of you two.
Now, who just read? You did. Start in verse 14. Now the curse comes.
And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life.
Would you? That's easy for you to say.
Easy for me to say. Between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and and the desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened of thy wife, and thou shalt eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles it shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt
sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. Thou shalt return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also, unto his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them.
Yeah.
What was a fig leaf then?
Oh, a fig leaf was just something of the earth. It was a covering without blood, and it was worthless. Now, notice, I mean, this, for those of you who haven't been here for a long time, that you got to think about something, right? God himself, and you know it, makes you a garment. He makes you a fur coat. And you live to be 900 years old. What's the money be your most prized possession? What's going to go, huh?
The 38 regular hanging in the closet.
Now, and this fur coat is going to do so many things from now on. And it doesn't, it's lost here in the scripture, but in all of the other Jewish writings, this fur coat becomes massively important. Okay. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. The sentence isn't completed. It's too awesome to contemplate from God's standpoint, because it would be a repeat of what had happened in Lucifer's kingdom. Nothing but pure evil. So what did he do? Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And that cherubim with the flaming sword is what you will see, that the flame, because it's what separates time from no time. It's what separates what we live in linear time from the place of eternity. And it's what the fire from that sword was seen on every head of the 120 in the upper room of the temple at the Feast of Pentecost. It's seen, it will not permit the human flesh and blood to go past that kingdom. That's why you, in order to enter this life, you have to go through the cross. Death has to occur, because this flaming sword, the cherubim, they're mean mothers. They're big.
The tree of life. There's only one tree of life.
Well,
is there more than one?
Yeah, there are 12, but that's another story.
Okay, because
Isaiah 43. This is Nisan 2. We just finished Nisan 2. Now we got to go. Second, Nisan is the name of the month.
Right.
Two is the second week of the month. We are now in Nisan 2.
Isaiah 43.
What?
Are Eden and the New Jerusalem one and the same?
Yes.
Cool.
Isaiah 43. Just verses 1 through 10. That's the only half to our reading. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and that he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters. Now remember this. This is what's the deal for Passover readings. What are you doing?
This is the same thing he threw Adam out. Would he say this to Adam?
Yes. This is the reading.
When he threw him out, he said this to him.
When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Now, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters. Who's that? Oh. And my daughters from the ends of the earth.
even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations or people be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us the former things? Show us former things. Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. God, you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Now, we're going to read a little farther. The readings ended at 10. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed thee when there was no strange God among you. Anyway.
You were clean enough for him to hang around. Is that what that?
Well, there's no strange God within you. When we have dusted
us, when we're thrown out.
So this is Christ is talking about.
And Christ in you.
And when he says, I will give men for thee and people for thy life, that's us.
That's right. Now, but it's interesting. It's said, it's the Torah reading, it's a half Torah reading. When he was expelled, he was thrown out. In other words, the instant, it was always there.
The lamb was slain.
It was always there. There's never a point when he couldn't have said, forgive me, in return. Let's just go real quickly. Job 38. That's the for job 38. That's the work order number 38 for the Levites. Should get a job. Levite 38, verse 26. No. 38, verse. Starting verse. This is God challenging Job. God's challenging Job's ignorance. So let's start in verse 4. Okay, why don't you read in that? Read 4 through 30, 4 through 20.
So this goes with the other stuff?
Yeah.
So this is him saying to Adam, right? After.
Well, you reread it 4 through 40. 4 through 40. We might as well read the whole damn chapter.
Okay. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkens?
What's the whirlwind? Remember, every time you see a whirlwind in the scripture, it's the metaphor for the threshing floor, where the wind blows off the chaff from the wheat.
Said, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me.
Oh, well, I'd love
why
to.
Why eat the fruit?
I'd love to debate Tolkien.
Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? Then the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut up the sea with doors when it break forth as if it had issued out of the womb?
It's seven, that's before Lucifer's fall.
When I made the cloud, the garment thereof, and thick darkness, a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further.
That's the flaming sword.
And here shalt thou proud waves be stayed. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the day spring to know his place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it? It is turned as clay to the seal, and they stand as a garment. And from the wicked there.
What does clay to the seal mean?
Yeah, that's what I was going
to be molten.
Yeah, I know, but in other words, the whole thing is only for the seal.
I don't get it.
You understand?
No.
The whole earth, the whole universe, the whole creation is only for his imprinture.
Shall forth the seal.
Sealed up, marked by God. As for the wicked, their light is withholden, and the high arm shall be broken. Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea, or hast thou walked in the search of the depth? Have the gates of death been opened unto thee, or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? Hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare it, thou knowest it all. Where is the way where light dwelleth? And as for darkness, where is the place thereof? That thou shouldst take it to the bound thereof, and that thou shouldst know the paths to the house thereof. Knowest thou it, because thou wast then born, or because the number of thy days is great? Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? Or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war? By what way is the light parted, which scattereth the east wind upon the earth? Who hath divided a watercourse from the overflowing of waters, or a way from the lightning of thunder, to cause it to rain on the earth where no man is, on the wilderness wherein there is no man, to satisfy the desolate and waste ground, and to cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth? Hath the rain a father, or who hath forgotten the drops of dew? Out of whose womb came the ice and the hoary frost of heaven? Who hath gendered it? The waters are hid as with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. Canst thou bind the sweet influence of the Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in his season, or canst thou...
You remember what Maseroth is?
That's
the signs of the zodiac.
Or canst thou guide Arcturus with his son? Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? Canst thou lift up thy voice to the clouds, that abundance of waters may cover thee? Canst thou send lightnings that may go and say unto thee, Here we are? Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts, or who hath given understanding to the heart? Who can number the clouds in wisdom, or who can stay the bottles of heaven? When the dust groweth into the hardness, and the claws cleave fast together, would thou hunt the prey for the lion, or fill the appetite of the young lion, when they couch in their dens and abide in the covert, the lion waits? Who provideth for the raven his food, when his young ones cry unto God, that they wonder for lack of meat?
Pretty neat stuff.
Can you imagine standing there and asking
God,
say that directly to you?
Don't say that.
Okay, back to Genesis 4. Now we're going to find out what happened in Passover. Now, you can, with this section, especially the 38th chapter of Job, is what all man has been trying to determine ever since this was written. I mean, that's what all progress is, trying to reach and try to answer those questions. And you can tell time is near an end because we can answer a lot of them. And he won't let us go any farther. Okay, Genesis 4, we're just going to read, we're just going to do the part that's done for Passover. So read 4, 1 through 9. You want to read Torah?
Yes, thank you.
Are you worthy?
No.
Okay. You answered right. You answered right.
10 points. What is I'm not worthy?
And Adam knew Eve, his wife. That's the 16th. And she was conceived. She conceived.
We lost the wife.
And bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord.
Now, the Talmud, again, because in the generations of the name, The Talmud says that many, many daughters were born to Adam before this. There may have been as many as 100, in fact, there's some that says there were 120 daughters born before this point. Okay?
Did they do this before they...
I don't know what they said, they should be hit.
There's no question
in my mind.
There's no question, is there?
There's no question. Around
you listen.
Radiating evilness.
Why does the Talmud think they're transferring to the daughters? Because the Y chromosome is
absent. Science has proven, science has taken back the human race
to one woman. Do you know that? Through following the gene pool. It just blew them away when I did it.
There's a limited number of children that a woman can bear, but there's an unlimited number of sperm in a man, practically unlimited. So it would take one son and 120 daughters
to
regenerate the earth.
And the reason is 120, 120 were what constituted a legal community under the Torah. A new community, a new thing.
Did they, like, that's where Cain got a wife. That's how Cain could be. Did they have sex before they ate the fruit, or is it something that came afterwards?
No, they had, it was only afterwards, because the whole mystery could have been completed in Adam and Eve without anything else.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And before that, they didn't know that.
Sex, really, sex is an act of desperation.
No kidding.
I'm serious. And it's an act in which it's this deep longing to try to have union. But it's mostly, I mean, if you think about it, if you, especially at the climax, it's an act of abandonment, an act of desperation.
She again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord.
Okay, now we're at Passover. Okay?
And Abel.
He brought of the fruit of the ground, but the ground was cursed. So he brought an offering and it was cursed. It was cursed because it was of the fruit of the ground. But also it was cursed because it didn't show forth the mystery that had been revealed. It did not have the shedding of blood. It didn't cost a life. It was a sacrifice that didn't cost anything.
And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door.
Okay, now again, it's important that you understand. That word there is hata, which means sin offering. The sin offering lieth at the door of the tabernacle. If you doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, the sin offering lieth at the door. Always, from ever.
So, like, no matter what.
Amen.
So, I know you probably said this before and I've forgotten, but how sometimes it's just said and used the Lord said and then up here with the Lord God.
Okay. When it says the Lord God, we haven't gotten into that in this group, I don't think. But there's two different, it's Elohim or Yahweh. And there's all kinds of wild things that happen, and we don't have time to talk about it tonight. But you ask me that Tuesday. Or Thursday.
And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground.
Okay. That's why the New Testament calls Abel the first prophet, even though it records no voice or words he ever said, but his blood crieth from the ground.
And now art thou cursed.
Now, you have to remember this scene when we do the Melito of Sardi Passover speech on Sunday morning. This is from this Passover speech that I'm going to read on Sunday morning. It was done by a bishop of Melito of the church in Sardi in AD 150. It's the wildest thing. I mean, it makes me sick, so that's because it makes me so ashamed. When we read what was written in AD 150 as compared to what we know now, we know nothing.
And now art thou cursed from the earth,
hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto the earth stream. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear.
Okay, let's stop there now. In Hebrew, it says that verse is the same thing that Christ said on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? So the death of Christ was, he even paid the check for Cain. Understand? Forgiven. So when Christ had to experience the separation and the punishment and the fear and the whole experience that Cain felt here in his aloneness, my God, my punishment is greater than I can bear. And his aloneness. Now, don't read anymore. Abel is listed among the prophets in Matthew 23. In Scripture, three had a passion for agriculture, and no good was found in them. Cain became a murderer. Noah became the husbandman and a drunkard. And Uzziah became a leper. Those are the only three that say that loved agriculture. Rabbi Joshua says that the sacrifice was made by Cain and Abel on Passover, and Cain killed Abel on the feast of Passover. Again, as I said, the sin offering lieth or croucheth. It doesn't, where it says in verse 7, the sin lieth at the door. The word lieth is a bad, in the Hebrew, it's crouching. It's as a young lion is crouching, ready to spring forth. The sin offering is always ready to spring at you if you only give the slightest bit of repentance. Slightest bit of turning from self. And bam, Christ, it's the young lion. Cain had a legal quarrel about dividing the world. One took the land and the other took the movables. One said, temple must be built in my area. One said, it was over a woman. And the argument allegedly was over Abel's twin, who was a woman. And each claimed her. Cain said, I get her because I was first born. Abel said, I get her because she was born with me. So Cain rose up. It must mean that they were in a fight. Abel was on the top. Abel was winning. And Cain said, we two are the only ones in the world. What will you tell your father? And Abel let him up. Cain then killed him. Abel offered the type. Cain offered the product of his own toil. The Lord had respect unto Abel because it was a picture of Christ. The younger Abel was preferred to the elder Cain. This is throughout the Bible. The younger Isaac was preferred over the elder Ishmael. The younger Jacob was preferred over the elder Esau. The younger Rachel was preferred over the elder Leah. And in you, the younger Christ is preferred over the older Harry. Or as we go down.
So Cain was the bad seed?
Cain was the evil seed. That's why we are going to fast for the firstborn. Because all of us are firstborn. Now, notice that there was no curse, that he was cursed He was banned, but he wasn't killed because there was no death penalty because there was no law. And you got to understand that. That's really important later. It's going to be a fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. Fugitive is one who wavers, one who goes forth to and fro, one who is double-minded. Vagabond, it's the effect. It's one who is double-minded, shaken, and unstable throughout the earth. Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Better translation is my iniquity. It's a question, really. Is my iniquity too great to be forgiven? And then that's answered on the cross when Christ says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then, you like this stuff?
Yes.
This is great.
Well, what I want you guys to do, the Haftorah reading for this is Jeremiah 12. So read Jeremiah 12. Jeremiah was 12. I didn't say it. Okay, thinking these things. Take a big guy.